And we're back for another episode of the Wire Fantasy Football Podcast. No Tyler this week. Kyle, just me and you.
How we doing, buddy?
Not bad. So this episode, we're going to jump into the rookie wide receiver class. Go over our top fives of each of our rankings. Let's do it.
Let's get into it.
Yeah. It's the Wire.
It's the Wire.
D. Griffin. This the Wire. Serving up a hot take around the league, serving gems like a hot plate. Who's the flex? First pick, rounds 4 to 8. Trading with the base, that Superman, we need a cape. This that fantasy, see who get the glory. Who's gonna stay up in their lane talking Tory? Who gonna ride up on the train where the hype at? Yeah, you wanna start them, but matches, you might not like that. 3 tutties next week, man, he's double covered. Takes on 100 coming out the oven. Tim and Todd, they the guys, know you gotta love them. Take your pick, do it quick, they on fire. The Wire.
All right, Kyle, just me and you today. What's up, man?
Not much. A little bit of a depressing day today, though. Why? I gotta admit, the Edelman news, it kind of hit me. It hit me hard.
Yeah.
I mean, I should have seen it coming, but it still hurts all at the same time.
Yeah, I thought he was going to come back for another year as well. But, you know, it's an interesting thing. No, he's no doubt a Patriots Hall of Famer. He's going to have his name up in the rafters one day or whatever you want to call it in football. But what do you think about his Pro Football Hall of Fame career?
Yeah, so like you said, without a doubt, he's a red jacket guy. But to me, he's not a gold jacket guy. And it's tough to say that. But when you really look at the resume and you compare that to other Hall of Fame wide receivers, your Jerry Rice's, your Randy Moss's, even, you know, Calvin Johnson, who didn't have a super long career, but
he changed the game of football.
Exactly. He changed the game of football. And he was somebody you feared on the other side of the ball. So Edelman, he had amazing moments, you know, all of the playoff runs that he was a part of. You know, he made 5 Super Bowl appearances with the Patriots. Of course, we won 3 Super Bowls with him. You know, a lot of great moments from him. And it's tough to say that, you know, he's deep down, he's probably not a true NFL Hall of Famer, but without a doubt, to me, he's a Patriots Hall of Famer.
Yeah, so I agree. I don't think he's a Hall of Famer at all. I don't think he should even have really get votes. The thing with him is he was one of the best playoff wide receivers of all time. Yeah. He had more receptions and yards and touchdowns. I don't have the stats in front of me, but then I think, you know, Randy Moss and definitely Calvin Johnson because he played in Detroit. But it's one of those things where, you know, is he worthy of a Hall of Fame more than Torrey Holt, Reggie Wayne, Isaac Bruce? Like, there's a lot of these guys where it's like, nah, I can't really put him above him. And we're biased towards him,
yep,
being Pats fans, but I don't think he deserves to be an NFL Hall of Famer. He's a Patriots Hall of Famer. He's one of the best wide receivers when it comes to the biggest plays in NFL history sometimes, but he's not a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, no, I think he'll forever live in Patriots lore, right, for all the playoff runs and the Super Bowl moments. I think about, obviously, the catch in 28-3, that game where he was in a big scrum with, I think, like 3 other Falcon defenders, and he ended up coming out.
I caught it.
Exactly. You know, and that's a famous moment now.
The Seattle touchdown.
That was the next thing I thought of, that go-ahead touchdown.
The throw to Amendola.
Yep.
When they were down against Baltimore in the playoffs.
Yep.
I mean, there was a lot of things, and it's a funny stat. He was like 9 of 11 with like 5 touchdowns in his career.
Oh yeah,
throwing the ball.
He made it cool to be a former quarterback, wide receiver, and he kind of started the trend for Patriots in their odd drafting of former quarterbacks. But I mean, it worked, and he had a hell of a career. You know, he had almost 7,000 yards receiving at least, and 36 touchdowns, 620 catches over 11 years. So super tough guy. great teammate, just hell of a player overall, and he's going to have a special place in my heart right next to Brady. Of course, you know, the both of them were buddies, and it was great just to watch them over the course of their Patriot careers.
I was surprised that he didn't go there. I'm surprised he didn't get ask for his release or get bought out or however the NFL is going to work it, or just get traded for a seventh round pick or something and just go to be their slot guy over there. But at the same time, even if he was to play, and even if it was, if what Brady was here, he probably wasn't even going to be able to suit up before week eight.
Yeah, supposedly he had failed his physical. That's according to the reports that came out today. So knowing that, it doesn't really surprise me. Obviously, he only played a partial season this past year. He dealt with, of course, tearing his ACL a couple years ago. And, you know, was pretty much slowed down up to that point. And even the retirement video that he put out today, he had said that, you know, he wouldn't stop until the wheels came off. And
the wheels came off.
The wheels came off, as he admitted. So, you know, he put his body on the line numerous times. You know, going back to that Seattle game, I remember he took an absolute shot in the middle of the field and just kept running.
That was a concussion.
Yeah, I was going to say, I highly doubt he knew where he was going. Knocked him
out and he accidentally ran forward for 5 minutes.
Right, somehow he just found the wherewithal to, you know, keep moving forward in the right direction, thankfully. But yeah, just a tough overall player and a hell of a player.
Yeah. So let's jump into our rookie wide receivers. Definitely an interesting class. Every year we hear it's the best wide receiver class ever. Every year it's the best class ever. We always hear it. For me, it's a no-brainer. I think we have the wide receiver one, and then we should skip a couple. And then you have your next wide receiver on the list, because I don't think there's any arguing that Ja'Marr Chase is not the number one wide receiver in this class.
Yeah, I definitely think so. I mean, you'll get some arguments from some people about Devontae Smith. And, you know, I obviously have watched plenty of film on him and watched, you know, all the games that he had this year. He had a hell of a year. But when you talk about a pro-ready receiver and who has all the physical skills that you'd want and the size and just the prototypical NFL receiver, you think Ja'Marr Chase. And he opted out this past year due to COVID and all that went on. But when you look back at his 2019 stats, he basically set the world on fire. In 14 games, had 84 catches on 111 targets. Almost 1,800 yards and 20 touchdowns. So
in 14 games.
In 14, yeah. So if, you know, even carry that over an NFL season, you're already looking at 2,000 yards.
Yeah. I mean, we all know that the college number is a little overrated.
Yep.
But for me, he does a good job of body control, boxing out the defender, getting when the ball touches his hands, he catches it. I mean, he has his unbelievable ability to catch contested balls.
Yep.
He runs very good routes. He's a strong guy. He's 200 pounds. He's not like, you know, the knock on Smith is 170 pounds. You know, he's, you know, kind of like Marvin Harrison when he came out, he was only 174 pounds. You know, there's a lot of those lighter wide receivers, but weight isn't as important as height is for me. I mean, he is 6'1". For me, he looks like a Dez Bryant. Yeah, that's my comp for him is Dez Bryant. Big, strong receiver. He's not as big as like a AJ Brown, for instance, you know, 6'3", what, 225 and running like a running back, but
absolute tank.
When he goes to catch a contested ball, he has the ability to have defenders bounce off of him like those guys do.
Yeah, exactly. You know, he's one of the more physically gifted receivers in this class when you talk about, you know, pure stature. But like you said, best body control in the class for me. When you're talking about going up for a catch on the sideline and he can, you know, contort his body in any which way you need in order to make that catch on the sideline, he's right there for it. My comp for him, I think I saw it on Player Profile and it made a lot of sense to me, is Odell Beckham. Obviously, you have that LSU connection there, but from a pure football standpoint, it made a lot of sense to me. And I think, to me, he's undoubtedly the wide receiver one in this class.
Yeah. My issue with the Odell comp is his footwork isn't as clean as Odell's is.
Yes. Yeah.
That's the thing. What makes Odell elite everybody talks about his hands and the one-handed catches, but his footwork is top three in the NFL.
Yeah, and that's definitely
because
fair.
His ability to move his feet. I mean, we're talking about a professional football player who practices ballet and a lot of these things to work on his foot movement and his foot agility and his ability to cut, and that's what makes him elite, and that's what's made him so good in New York. Chase is a little bit more of a bigger, stronger wide receiver than he is at agility-wise.
Yeah, he's definitely going to look to out-muscle the corner he's lined up against. And there were times where he would be lined up against certain corners and certain guys would just look to jam him right at the line of scrimmage. And sometimes, you know, they got away with it. And I think that's kind of one of the smaller knocks I have on him. The other one, I did notice that he can lack some effort at times when he doesn't get the ball. So when he's out, you know, trying to run block or something like that, he's not fully invested.
Yeah, he's not Robert Woods and Cooper Kupp blocking, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, exactly.
You can argue that with the rest of these guys on this list, though. I mean, we don't have any elite blockers from the wide receiver.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't expect...
I'm not using Devontae Smith as my lead blocker on a replay.
Yeah, I'm not expecting a bunch of pancakes out there, but at least, you know, show some effort and, you know, show some involvement in the play just because you're not getting the ball.
Yeah, I expect him to go to Detroit, too. So I think he's going to have the ability to go in there, command number one targets.
Oh, for sure.
You know, I don't like Miami for him so much. I really hope he doesn't go to Miami because, you know, they just signed Will Fuller. You have Devontae Parker. You have Preston Williams. You have Mike Gesicki. So they're going to be ahead in a lot of games with a good defense. Not going to be a lot of volume. I really hope for his fantasy value, he doesn't go to Miami.
Yeah, as far as that goes, as far as the fantasy aspect goes, Detroit would be a very good landing spot just because
they're going to be behind down in games.
Yep.
Just, you know, fuck it, throwing the ball 10, 12 times, right?
Yeah. When you're talking about, you know, PPR leagues, you're going to get a ton of checkdowns and whatnot for him. So
yeah,
he'll eat up for sure.
Yeah. Number two on the list, we have Devontae Smith of Alabama. 6'1", 170. He set the world on fire this year. He put up unbelievable numbers. 117 receptions, 1,856 yards, and 23 touchdowns in 12 games. He averaged almost 2 touchdowns a game.
Yeah. Yeah. He was unreal this year. Obviously, he won the Heisman this year. First receiver to do it in God knows how long.
I'm glad he did win it, too.
Yeah.
I'm not a huge Mac Jones fan, but just to give it to him because he was the Alabama quarterback, I mean, it already is a quarterback award. So
right. That's exactly my thing. It's such a quarterback award, especially historically. And I get it, you know, from a football aspect. Obviously, the quarterback's the most important player on the field. He has the ball in his hands every play. But it was just refreshing to see a different player and it from a different position actually win the award, because he truly was a difference maker for that offense. Because you figure, you know, a guy a little, you know, next on our list on Jalen Waddle, he missed a lot of this year. So a lot of it was on Devontae Smith's shoulders in order to carry that workload from a receiving aspect. So he definitely put on a show this year.
Yeah. And the thing with Smith is, you know, he is a very good route runner.
Yes.
For me, my comp for him, and I think it's a lot of people's comps, Calvin Ridley.
Yep.
You know, he's, what, an inch shorter than Calvin Ridley. He's on the thinner side. He's not going to out-muscle anybody, but he's just, his route running is going to be elite at this level. He has a very good route tree. You can use him in the slot. You can use him out wide. You know, you don't have to take him off the field on red zone plays. He can, you know, I like that comp for him, and I also like Tyler Lockett.
Yeah, that's a good one.
I think it's a good one. He has the ability, good route runner, gritty. He's not the biggest guy, and he'll beat you deep when you're not paying attention to him.
Yeah, I mean, BMI Twitter has been going crazy over this kid for, you know, pretty much all season because, you know, he's so small, the weight, blah, blah, blah. know, how's he going to match up against NFL corners? But I watched this kid consistently win against the corners that he was lined up against.
Especially
all
when
season.
They put a linebacker on him. What was it, Ohio State? That
oh,
was,
yeah.
That was embarrassing.
Bold strategy, Cotton. Let's see how that pays off.
That was terrible.
Yeah, not great, Bob. But yeah, this kid consistently won contested catches over dudes. Catches in the back of the end zone where, you know, you have a small window to throw into. You have a defender draped all over you. He won those. Just a bunch of highlight reel plays that you wouldn't expect from a 170-pound guy. This guy just managed to win. Like you said, he's a very good route runner. Has one of the cleanest releases in this class. And that's one of the big reasons that he wins at the line of scrimmage. And, you know, finds ways to get open. But he's also, I think he's going to be... Especially a young quarterback, if he ends up on the right team, their best friend, because he consistently makes the right play and the smart play from a receiving perspective where he's finding the hole in the zone. If he's running any kind of either a comeback route or some type of, you know, scramble jail type situation, he's coming back towards the quarterback, making himself available. So that's where you're going to end up getting those bigger plays and eat up, especially in PPR formats. And you're going to get a lot of his production coming that way just because he's such a smart player and a consistent player from that aspect.
Yeah, absolutely. So we all agree on our third wide receiver on the list, and then we're going to start getting into a little bit of discrepancy here. This is one of my favorite wide receivers to come out in a long time. Jalen Waddle. He was Smith's teammate. He did miss quite a long time with fractured foot and a high ankle sprain this year. Came back for the national championship. You might as well have put a wheel on the back of that foot because he was barely moving. He didn't run at his pro day, but I'm willing to bet he'd run in the high 4.2s. He has elite speed. Elite.
The speed is real.
He is, you know, I hate comparing people to Tyreek Hill because Tyreek Hill is just another form of animal.
Yep.
I really like Brandon Cooks for him. About the same size. I think he's an inch taller than Brandon Cooks. Brandon Cooks has the speed. The interesting thing with him, he's a speedster, but 77% of his snaps in college, he played in the slot.
Yeah, it's not like he's out there just running 9 routes all game.
Well, granted, he had Henry Ruggs doing that last
right,
year.
Right.
And then, you know, but 77% of his snaps came from the slot. When you're talking about a guy who's running 4.2 speed, if you can put him in the slot,
absolutely.
And now he has the choice of an inside or an outside release without the worry of the sideline, that's where the problem comes in.
Oh, yeah, and that's where you can get, you know, you just, he's one of those guys, you just get the ball in his hands and you're throwing a cheap bubble screen and now he's taking it 40, 50 yards to the house, or you're throwing a, you know, a quick check down drag, you know, right in front of you a couple, you know, yards off the line of scrimmage. And he just has the raw athletic ability to make a big play out of that at any given moment. One of the big things that I find very interesting, and it's good to look at for both running backs and receivers, is he actually returned kicks and punts in college. So for one, that's a really good way to get on the field, is play special teams, and that works out really well for coaches. Obviously, Waddle is a great talent, but for lower down guys as well, if you can get on the field for special teams, odds are you're going to end up getting some snaps on offense at one point or another.
Yeah, they want to get the good elite player. The people who are good with the ball in the hands, they want to get them the ball in space.
Exactly. You want to get your athletes the ball in space. And to be able to demonstrate that athletic ability on a routine basis, that's all the better for him. And then he ended up landing at the 96th percentile in yards per reception at 21 yards a catch. So clearly he has the big play ability.
Yeah, he is elite with the ball in his hands. He's going to be using a lot of deep drags, post routes, you know, things that take a little bit of time to develop. That's why his landing spot is important. Yeah, I actually really like his fit in New England because he's going to fit a play action scheme very well because the play action buys more time. And then, you know, like line up on the right-hand side of the offense, if Cam rolls out to his left or whoever the quarterback is, and he's running a deep drag over the middle, he's going to break away from that corner in man-to-man coverage.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, and if you can teach him where to stop in a zone and different things like that, now we're talking about him progressing as a wide receiver and filling in the gaps of the holes in his game.
Yeah, you can't teach speed, but you can teach, you know, where to break off your route and where to settle into a zone and whatnot. So he has all the upside in the world from a pure talent standpoint and just where he could end up finishing within this class.
Yeah, I mean, to me, I think his floor is Emmanuel Sanders.
Yeah, which isn't bad.
No, I think he's going to be a serviceable wide receiver for a long time. You know, he fits the same. Manny Sanders is what, 5'11", 180. He fits right in that ballpark with Waddle. So yeah. He comps out well, and his numbers show it. I think he's going to go in the top 15, 16 picks. But we'll see from there. Who do you have at four?
So at four, I have Rashad Bateman. 6 foot, 190 pounds. To me, he is the most complete or safest receiver in this class, depending on, you know, how you want to phrase it. But he's one of those guys that he doesn't have anything super special about him or truly elite about him, but he does everything at a very high level. In 2019, so he barely played this past year, but in 2019, 13 games, he had 60 catches on 93 targets, 1,200 yards, 11 touchdowns. He played at Minnesota, so he wasn't exactly playing with the best quarterback or the best talent around him, but he still managed to produce. One of the big things about Bateman is he broke out at age 18, which landed him in the 94th percentile. And this is stuff that I was getting from Player Profiler, actually a really good site to use for this kind of stuff. But really young breakout age, nothing that really wows you, but he does everything really, really well. And something that kind of irked me a little bit, and I think it's just a Minnesota thing, to be honest, but you put the film on and they all have this weird false step release that they take. And I think it's something that they coach at Minnesota, because I saw all the receivers doing it. Tyler Johnson did it last year when he was there. And it's just, for me, it's kind of an eyesore. I don't understand why receivers do it or why they would be coached to do that. But to be honest, it didn't really seem to affect him in any way, because he still has a really good release and he runs really good routes. He makes himself available. So,
yeah, I mean, my comp for him was Robert Woods. Same size, 6 foot, about 195 pounds.
Yep.
You know, very good over the middle, big, strong hands, can catch the ball contested. There's no real hole in his route tree, but I don't think he's ever going to be elite. He's going to be that's why I wanted to temper his expectations with like a Robert Woods.
Yeah.
Rather than, you know, maybe like a Juju Smith-Schuster, you know. This is the kind of ballpark we're talking about. He's safe. He's going to be a very good wide receiver.
Yeah.
But in my opinion, he's not going to be a Dez Bryant, Julio Jones, DeAndre Hopkins.
Yeah.
He's not. Chase has that ability. You know, Smith has that ability. Waddle could. That's where it starts to break up a little bit. He would be more of a situational player like that. But I see Bateman being a good, serviceable wide receiver, but nothing elite, nothing top five ever. You know what I mean? He's never going to be a top five, top 10 in the league, but you're talking about a guy like a Tyler Boyd, Robert Woods, where he's going to be in that mid-teens, early 20s for 5-6 years.
Yeah, and this is one of those things to think about when you're in your rookie drafts, especially I've seen Bateman mocked anywhere from kind of late first round, early to mid-second round, in a lot of rookie drafts. But if you're in that spot and you look at your roster, okay, do you need a ton of upside? Do you need kind of a game-breaking type receiver and, you know, you kind of shoot for the moon? Or do you need somebody who's going to be a little bit more safe, like a Tyler Boyd or a Robert Woods, where you already have that, you know, big playability on other spots in your roster, so you just want that more safe, stable play? You know, you go for a Rashad Bateman. So it kind of all depends on how you look at it. You know, from your roster, you evaluate your roster, see where your holes are, and go from there.
Yeah, because wide receiver is one of those positions where you could hit lightning in a bottle and you could draft somebody in the end of the second round and they could be a wide receiver two for you for the next 5-6 years. They have games where they go for 50.
Yep.
Right. But you could also draft somebody and they just don't pan out at all. It's a lot, to me, it happens a lot more with wide receivers than it does with running backs.
Yes.
Because typically, you know, running backs will always at least get a role. That, when they get the ball, they're going to get the ball 10 times. A wide receiver could be out there for 70% of the snaps and not get the ball at all.
Yep.
Right? Like a Tyler Johnson, he was pretty much invisible for most of the year. Granted, we all knew that was going to happen because of that offense, and Brady doesn't like young wide receivers. But, you know, it's something to monitor situation-wise with these wide receivers. I think Bateman is going to be a nice, strong, safe play for a couple of years. That's why I like him. That's why I have him ranked here, because you're drafting a guy who's going to be a wide receiver too.
Yeah, you know what you're getting pretty much with Bateman.
Yeah, and I don't think he's very dependent on where he's going to land.
I would agree with that.
Yeah. Yep. He's the one on this list that I, if he goes to Miami, we're just using hypothetical situations here.
Yep.
He goes to Miami, I think next year he just takes over the Devontae Parker role.
Yep.
When Devontae leaves, and he's going to be put up the consistent numbers Parker has.
Sure.
Well, not consistent because Parker's been hurt for 70% of his career, but
yeah,
you know,
over last year, especially the second half of last year.
Yeah, that one year he was good. Yeah.
But listen, he fathered Gilmore. That's all I'm saying, and it hurts me to say that, but it's true.
Yeah, I don't want to talk about it. But he's going to be safe. He's going to be reliable. I'm not worried about where he lands. These other guys, I'm a little bit more worried. So this is where we have to start to argue. This is where it gets a little spicy.
Yeah, it's going to get hot.
Because my wide receiver five and your wide receiver five are the polar opposites of each other. And I think I'm going to get destroyed for this one because of my take. But I'll let you go first. Who's your wide receiver five?
All right, so my wide receiver five is Rondale Moore.
Oh.
Yeah, I know. Tim doesn't like smaller guys, but, you know, newsflash.
I love Jalen Waddle. He's 5'9".
But this is what I mean. And, you know, the big knock on Rondale is the last 2 years. So this past year, he had a weird situation where he had opted out, then opted back in, and opted back out because of COVID. So it was basically a throwaway year for Rondale. Last year, he actually ended up with a hamstring injury, and he was supposed to be out for the whole season, but he tried to come back. And, you know, Purdue, obviously, it's a trash school, the trash football program. They weren't going anywhere anytime soon. He was advised, okay, why are you going to come back and risk further injury when you're not really playing for anything at this point?
You're going to the NFL.
Right. You have a path to go to the NFL. You have the talent. Don't risk yourself, kind of, unfortunately, like a Jalen Waddle tried to do for, you know, during the national championship game with a, you know, on a broken ankle, basically. But either way,
fractured
ankle.
Leave Waddle alone.
So yeah, the big thing with Moore was his freshman year, where in 13 games he put up 114 catches, 1,200 yards, and 12 touchdowns. You're talking about a kid that just came out of high school. Day one on the field starting for Purdue and immediately producing. So he had a breakout age of, I think it was 18.2, which put him in the 99th percentile as far as, you know, breakout age. So immediately produced when he got on the field. He ran a 4.32 at his pro day. Now, pro day numbers, you know, you can argue.
A 4.5. Okay.
Yeah. No, exactly. You could probably put a couple ticks as far as that. But even at worst, we're talking probably 4.3 speed, low 4.4s at absolute worst.
Yeah, he's probably in that 4.38 to 4.42 area.
Yep.
You know, that high threes, low fours area. But we're just going to, you keep saying, oh, the big knock on him. The big knock on him is he's 5'7". That's the big knock on him.
Yep.
Have we ever seen a wide receiver, not a running back, not a Maurice Jones-Drew, a wide receiver produce at 5'7"?
So the closest comp I'm going to give you, and we talked about this in the group chat, is Steve Smith. I understand he's 5'9", but think about when Steve Smith came in the league and everyone had said, oh, you're too small, you're never going to win.
Does he have the thing that made Steve Smith elite was the chip on his shoulder.
He was a dog.
He is the ultimate underdog. He is legit. Like, he's a person that if you're one of those people who your son is really sure and, you know, and he's really down on himself for it. Yep. Show him highlights of Steve Smith. because he's going to go out there at 4 foot two and feel like he is 6 foot five.
Absolutely.
Just watching him throw people around and catch 100 balls a season, catch 10 touchdowns at 5 foot nine. But that's the thing, 5 foot nine, not 5 foot seven. So I don't have his wingspan numbers, but he's automatically has to be a slot wide receiver at that height.
Yeah, I will be the first to tell you he's more than likely probably not.
That's the only way is if he lines up in the slot.
Well, we'll see. I think that remains to be seen because I'm sure they said the same things about Steve Smith when he came out. I get it, it's a 2-inch difference, but the same things that were said about Steve Smith are being, like you're saying now, are being said about Rondale. So a lot of people are doubting him from the jump. You know, he only had the 1 year that he produced his freshman year, and then these last 2 years he's been hurt.
So it's been 2 years since he produced. He's 5 foot seven.
Yep.
And we don't have a combine to know his actual height and actual speed.
Yeah, the closest thing we can go off of is pro days.
Pro day.
Yep.
Where typically everything... So is it in all crazy for us to find out he's 5'6"? Now we're talking about him being Trindon Holiday or one of these little, you know, returners. And it's very hard for me to, you know, everybody's like, oh, you know, you're drafting with the end. You said it the other day when we argued about this.
Yep.
You're drafting with the end of the first round. Well, if I'm drafting in the first round, that's where I need the guys that are going to contribute. My second and third round is where I'm going to take chances on guys where they could win me a league because I spend the low-end capital with high-end reward. My first-round pick, you have to hit on those. In a startup, in your rookie draft, you have to hit on your first-round picks.
So this kind of goes back to what I was just talking about before about how you evaluate your roster and how what exactly you look for within your rookie picks. Because I totally get where you're coming from in terms of it's a first-round rookie pick. You don't want to screw it up. You want to make a safe play if you can, kind of like a Rashad Bateman type. But if you end up hitting on that, you know, home run type player, now you just blew the roof off your team. I don't want to make another Tyreek Hill comparison, but just for sake of example, when he came out and, you know, people spent a pick on him and then look what he turned out to be. Now you're talking about arguably a wide receiver one. For fantasy purposes. So for Rondale, it's going to end up needing to be in the right situation for him. It's not like he can just land on any roster and automatically be their one or, you know, contribute all kinds of crazy numbers. It's going to have to be the right situation for him. But I think if he ends up in the right situation, fed the ball, kind of like he was at Purdue, he can definitely produce and he can eat because when you put the film on, the kid stands out. And another one that return kicks, return punts. So you get him the ball in space and he's just outrunning people.
Oh yeah, he's going to be returning kicks at the NFL level. But, you know, it's just one of those things where I have a hard time trusting my first round pick on him.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, wide receiver is one of those situations. What was Stephon Diggs drafted at? You know, was he drafted in the, fifth round, sixth round?
Yeah, he was a later guy. Yep.
Tyreek Hill was drafted in the fifth round.
Yep.
Julian Edelman was drafted in the sixth round. These guys don't have to be drafted in the first round to be good wide receivers in the NFL. It really does depend on their fit and their scheme on the offense. That's why you don't just draft, because the thing with Rondale Moore is he's reminding me a lot of Jalen Reagor last year.
Yeah, you were very low on him.
Very low on him, and I still am. I think he's going to be a bust in the NFL. The reason is he was a big fish in a small pond. I think if he played in the SEC, he wouldn't be getting drafted in the first round. He does have Reagor, elite speed.
Yep.
Smaller.
Yep.
I think this is a good comp for him where they're pretty much the same player coming from a small school with not a lot of talent, not a lot of competition,
mm-hmm.
and he was the best player on the field. No knock on Rondale Moore. To be the best player on the field at any level outside of Pop Warner is very hard to do. Being the best player on your high school team is hard.
Yep.
Being the best player on your college team is hard. Being the best player on your field every single week at the college level, at the D1 level, that's hard. And he's an elite athlete, but But at 5'7", I fade him because he's 5'7".
No,
that's my issue.
And that's fine.
My wide receiver 5 is Terrence Marshall.
Okay.
LSU, he's 6'3", 205. My comp for him is Mike Williams. He's big, strong guy. In 12 games in 2019, now this is with him being the wide receiver 2 on the team because that's when Chase played. He had 46 catches, 671 yards, and 13 touchdowns.
He was actually the 3 because you had Jefferson there as well.
You also had Jefferson. I'm sorry. Yeah. You're right. 2020, Chase opts out. Jefferson gets drafted. In 7 games, he had more receptions, more yards, and more touchdowns.
From a lesser quarterback.
From a god-awful quarterback. He went from Joe Burrow to the Kmart version of Joe Burrow.
Yeah, that program.
Not even Kmart, like Dollar General version.
Great value.
Great, yeah, the great value, the Walmart version. But it's bad quarterback play. But yep. 6'3", he's a very strong at the point of contact, at the point of reception. He's going to be a big play wide receiver in the NFL. I don't see him being catching a lot of stuff over the middle, like a big, strong wide receiver. I see him being used more of like a Mike Williams, where it's a lot of slants against man-to-man, nines, posts, outs, things like that. But he's another one who's going to be scheme dependent, because if you put him somewhere where it's a lot of stuff over the middle of the field, I think he's going to get overlooked by somebody who's a little bit shiftier, who's going to be stopping in the right zones a little bit more.
Yep.
That's my thing with him. But this is a good class. This is a very good class of wide receivers. I don't think it's as good as last year's. I know I'm probably the only person who's covering who's covered anything to do with the NFL draft over the last couple of years. But, you know, this isn't as good of a class as last year. I think Jefferson and Lamb, and, you know, you keep going down the list, some of those guys are going to, they're all a step above this class. Like, you know, Amon-Ra St. Brown, Olave's next year. Yep. I think he's going to be the first wide receiver off the board next year.
Yep.
Elijah Moore, Kadarius Toney, you know, Tylan Wallace is an interesting prospect. It starts to get really underwhelming after you get after 6-7 guys.
It's a very different class compared to last year. And a lot of that, and I think kind of a lot of what you're seeing, is this class has a lot of smaller guys, smaller slot type shiftier guys, where last year you had a good amount of those bigger guys, your Chase Claypool and Justin Jefferson type players. And actually next year, looking at the 2022 class, you're actually looking at some bigger wide receivers again. So I don't know, it kind of comes and goes in a cycle, but this year there's definitely some depth. Obviously time will tell with how these kids pan out in the league. But they have a lot of the skills that you'd want, especially from a fantasy perspective. Obviously we're all, you know, looking to get fantasy producers on our dynasty teams and redraft teams, but they have a lot of the raw skills that you're looking for in order to produce out on the field. So wherever these kids land, especially the smaller ones, it's going to be scheme dependent. But if their coordinators get them in the right positions to produce, they have the talent to do it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Now, you didn't give me your opinion on Terrence Marshall.
Yeah, so I haven't watched a ton of film on him. I did watch a little bit. He definitely benefited from finally getting to be the one. You know, obviously he was behind Justin Jefferson and Chase for the last couple of years. But he finally got his chance to show out, and he produced. He had a bad quarterback, like you said. That whole offense kind of had a reset after losing so many players to the draft.
They lost Joe Burrow, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, Justin Jefferson, and Ja'Marr Chase at once.
Yeah, and Thaddeus Moss, who hasn't really panned out in the league. But
he just signed with... Oh, I forgot who it was. Oh, Cincinnati.
Yeah,
he just reunited with Burrow. He just signed with Cincinnati today.
Yep.
He's not going to play, but, you know, it's probably just to make Joe Burrow happy.
Yeah.
He might have to play left tackle if they...
Yeah, they need help wherever they can get it as far as the line goes. But, yeah, I think Terrace Marshall is going to be a solid prospect coming into the league. And, again, it just kind of speaks to the depth of this class because you start naming off names, and when you put them on film, you see a lot of good traits within them. So Terrace Marshall is another one of those guys. I think I've seen him fall in the mid twos, early twos, second round. So I think you can grab them in a lot of those places. And if you're ranking them top five, you'll probably be able to grab them in the second round still.
And I hope so. In a 12 team league, he's probably going in the 204, 205 range.
Yep.
So in a 10 team league in our home league, because we have a little small league in that, in our home league, if you let him slip to me at the 209, I'm going to be running up and down the street screaming in excitement. But so, yeah, so that's our top five for each of us for the wide receivers. We're going to break down the running backs next week. We wanted to stick it with wide receivers because what happened with Edelman today. Next week's going to be running backs, and we'll probably do a quick episode on tight ends as well. Just to kind of break down, we're probably only going to do the top four tight ends. Well, might as well go five, but I think only three or four of them are going to be fantasy relevant. I don't see too much of that, but we'll break that down in that episode. Kyle, you have anything else?
No, that was it. Good episode. We fought less than we thought.
I kind of let you go. I can continue to say it over and over again. I don't think Moore is going to be a reliable fantasy asset for anybody because of his height.
It's okay. When I can see a guy squat 600 pounds.
I don't care how much he squats. All these guys squat a lot. I don't really care. He's just the one of the guys that, you know, you hear about it on Instagram and on Twitter. All of these guys are professional athletes, right? They all squat a lot. They're not just a high school kid who the first one that was able to squat 300 pounds. All these guys are squatting over 400 pounds.
When you can find me a guy that's 5'7".
Well, that's because a lot of guys who are 5'7" don't make it to the NFL.
There you go. All you need to know. Cool. Chip on the shoulder. There you go.
I hope it works out for him. That's right. And I hope I get one share of them and it works out. But if I don't get any and it doesn't work out, I'm just as happy.
Yeah, you're not going to lose any sleep. That's okay, though.
Yeah.
I hope I get them just despite you.
I hope you do, and I hope it doesn't work out. But that's all we got this week, guys. Thanks for tuning in. Real quick, make sure you also follow Kyle's other podcast at Money Over Blitzes. Instagram, Twitter, YouTube. Do you have a Facebook page up yet?
No, not yet. Twitter's the main.
You still want the Snapchats though, right?
No. We're off that.
Oh, okay.
That's okay.
You don't want any dick pics from any followers?
Yeah, no. I'm not trying to get in risky business, but okay. Twitter's a safe space for right now. You know, it hasn't been too bad. So, Twitter, YouTube, wherever you listen to podcasts, Money Over Blitzes. That's where you can find me.
Awesome. Good episode. Thanks again.
Agreed.
And we'll catch you guys next week.
All right. Take care, guys.
Peace.